Welcome to the weekly Fantasy Lounge podcast. This week, Kevin and I argue about upcoming prospects, early fantasy MVP candidates, draft strategy, and where Roger Clemens will end up.
I'm Kevin, known as Guru at the Lounge, alongside my fellow administrator Brandon, known as Ritz.
We start off with some upcoming prospects who may be of some fantasy impact a little later on in the year. We've already seen a few young pitchers come up and make an impact, but there are plenty more players on the way. The first one is B.J. Upton.
Talked about the last couple of years now. Just 2 years ago, he actually played in almost nearly 50 games at a young age of 19. He's 21 now. And the knock on him is his defense. He's played at shortstop, and he's only made 13 errors this year.
Yeah, that's pretty much his only problem, is defense. The hitting is there, and he hasn't even gotten hot in AAA. And his on-base percentage is around 400. So
yeah, I mean, he's hitting in the 280s. He's a 5-tool player. I mean, he can steal bases, he can hit for power, he drives in runs, and he's a 5-tool player. He can do pretty much everything. It's just his defense isn't what it should be quite yet.
There's been some whispers about Aubrey Huff being traded, and also Julio Lugo, and those are the two key players in his call-up, because if either one of them either goes down to injury or gets traded, he will be called up.
Yeah, it should be interesting if they keep him at short or if they move him to third base. I don't know what they do. But he's got good size. You know, he may even be a little too big to play shortstop, and the switch to third might help him a little bit.
Yeah, he's just going to be a guy you have to keep an eye on. He's definitely got the talent to be a good fantasy player, because usually defense doesn't count in your league, so that won't have any effect on him, and that's his only real weakness.
Yeah, I actually had him a couple years ago in a league, and he played pretty well. There's been quite a young couple of pitchers coming up. Of course, Hamels and a couple other guys. But another guy you might hear about is Chad Billingsley of the LA Dodgers.
Yeah, he's widely believed to be the best starting pitcher prospect after Hamels had already been called up. He throws in the mid-90s, and he has two great breaking balls. He plays for the Dodgers, so he will play in pitcher-friendly Dodger Stadium and against the NL West, who we all know is not the strongest of divisions in the league.
Yeah, I've heard a lot about this guy. He's 21 years old. Last 3 years, at all three levels, he's had an ERA under 3. So he's got electric stuff. He was the Dodgers' 2003 first-round pick. So they like him a lot, and I've read that he could actually be the Dodgers' number one starter by the end of next year. They like him that much.
Yeah, like Hamels and like Liriano, once you hear that he's going to be starting for the first time, it will be time to pick him up. Right now, he probably doesn't have a whole lot of value, but he will eventually. And he could be a good pitcher in this league for many years to come.
Yeah, he's got a 3-to-1 walks ratio, a K's to walk ratio, and he's got over 63 strikeouts and over 52 innings at Las Vegas. So this guy will get you K's.
One hitter that's already been called up is Jason Botts on the Texas Rangers. He could play in the outfield, but he's a horrible fielder, so his best chance to play will be at DH. He could DH right now against right-handed pitchers because his stats are so good. His minor league high is only 25 home runs, but he has a lot more potential. He's a big guy.
Yeah, scouts said he's got potential to hit 40 home runs, so it's kind of like Upton, and he has defensive struggles. But a couple years ago, he was rated the 27th best prospect in baseball, and he was selected 46 overall in the 1999 draft. So he's had some minor league experience.
If he's only hit 25 home runs as his season high in the minors, I don't think he's going to hit 40. I think that's pretty fair to say.
No, but I think Phil Nevin isn't. He's replaceable, so I can see this guy getting some at-bats this year. Another young guy that's been widely talked about is Steven Drew of the Arizona Diamondbacks. This guy is, of course, the brother of J.D. Drew, and he's 23 years old, and he's considered a Diamondbacks' top prospect.
Yeah, and that's in a system that's turned out some pretty good prospects. They've always had one of the top five minor league systems ever since they became a team. He has a chance to play if Craig Counsell gets hurt, or if he's dealt, which there has been some talk about that. Personally, I don't see it unless the Diamondbacks slip below 500 by the deadline, which is probably not probable. He has 25 home run power, and he's going to be playing in Chase Field, which is very hitter friendly. So he's been down there for a while. He's ready to be called up at any time. Injuries or even a trade could bring him up.
I think this guy could be kind of like a Michael Young type guy who'll hit for good average, and he's got some pop. I think he's gonna be a very good major league player. I could see him being a top five or shortstop for 10-12 years in fantasy.
He's that good. Here in Arizona, we've heard a lot about him, and they've pretty much always talked about him being a top guy in the system. And this is a pretty good system. It's turned out some pretty good talent.
Well, there's no question that hitting-wise, he's ready. I mean, he's hitting over 300, and he's got 8 home runs, 27 RBIs, and he's got a pretty good on-base percentage. So there's no question that he is counsels as a stopgap till Drew comes up.
Yep. Another guy, Alex Gordon of the Kansas City Royals. He's a third baseman. He's probably one of the biggest prospects on this list. He does play for the Royals, who are truly an abysmal team. So he has a good chance to be called up. Esteban German is playing third right now, but that could change any day with the way the Royals are playing. He has a very strong glove and even a stronger bat.
Well, here's the good thing about being in a bad team system. You know you're going to get some playing time. And this guy will get playing time by the end of the year. He's 22 years old, and he was their second overall selection in the 2005 draft. And Tien was their starting third baseman in the beginning there. Now it's Jermaine, or however you say his name, I'm not quite sure. But there's no doubt in my mind he will see a significant amount of playing time by the end of the year, if not in the next couple weeks or so.
I don't know if he's going to see significant playing time, but I think it all rides on how German plays, and I don't know if he's going to, fall off like Tien did or what, but the Royals are an unstable team, and anybody has a chance to play for them right now.
I think German, he's a solid player. I mean, he's got very, very good speed, and he's hitting for a pretty decent average right now, so he's getting on bases, so he could be a reliable option for them. It's early on, but never too early to talk about fantasy MVPs. Obviously, Pujols wins that crown, and I don't think anyone can debate that. But we'll take a look beyond Pujols at other potential MVP candidates.
First up is Jim Thome. He has 41 runs, 18 home runs, and 44 RBIs heading into Friday. He leads the AL in home run, slugging percentage, OPS, and he's second in runs and third in RBIs.
He's having an outstanding year. Of course, he was hurt last year with Philadelphia. He played in 59 games. In those 59 games, he had 207, and he sent over 300 last year. So this guy's always been a great hitter, great power hitter. He'll drive you 120 runs, 125 runs every year, hit 35, 40, 45 home runs.
Tommy's a streaky hitter, but I don't think we've ever seen a streak of his last this long. This isn't like him, and he's really come back well. He could be the comeback player of the year. I don't know if we've seen him go on a hot streak this good.
Yeah, I don't think... I'm not quite sure, but I think his career average is under 300. So we actually never seen him hit for, he's not a great average hitter. He's solid, but not a great guy, the average hitter. But he leads his team in home runs, RBIs, and runs. And, that White Sox offense is a pretty solid offense.
Yeah, and he's pretty close to the top of the league in walks. And when you're that, and when you have a lot of walks on a team with an offense that good, you're going to score some runs. That's why he has 41 runs. And he's second in the AL next to Hafner.
He's made that offense that much better. And that offense, of course, and that pitching staff won a World Series last year. So, the White Sox I think they're better off this year than they were last year to win a World Series.
He's on pace for about 70 home runs. I don't think he's going to get there, but he could hit 60. I could even see him hit.
I agree. One of Tommy's ex-teams, Cleveland Indians, has an MVP candidate of their own. And that's Travis Hafner, who's having another solid year. His third really solid year in a row.
Yeah, I think Hafner is probably one of the leaders for a fantasy MVP candidate next to Pujols right now. He has 13 home runs, which isn't outstanding, but he also has 42 RBIs, and he's hitting .311. He scored 43 runs. He leads the AL in runs, and he's second in RBIs, and fourth in slugging, and third in OPS. And Cleveland hasn't even gotten hot yet.
He actually has a higher on-base percentage than Tony does. It's almost 450.
He gets more hits.
Yeah. And he's, you know, he scored over 40 runs. I found this really interesting. It's kind of like a Mike Piazza type stat. He is a 31st round pick and 96 by the Rangers. I mean, that's just, and the player he's turned out to be, that's quite a pick.
Yeah, the numbers are there, but the thing is, he only is eligible as a DH, which cramps you in a lot of leagues.
It's
so
kind of like Big Poppy a little bit.
Yeah, he could be a fantasy candidate, MVP candidate, but the thing is, we wonder if Cleveland's going to do, because they're a questionable team if they're going to get hot or if they're going to stay where they're at right now.
Hafner is an interesting guy to look at, because they got, you know, Johnny Peralta hasn't hit in that lineup. He's, you know, mostly hitting third and fourth, and they rely on him a lot, and he isn't hitting, so...
Yeah, once they get going, I think Hafner's
numbers can even get better.
Definitely.
If Peralta starts hitting.
Yeah, expect those run numbers and those RBI numbers to go through the roof if they can get some more offense around him. And they are decently hot, but they aren't there yet the way we know they can hit. With guys like Casey Blake, Grady Sizemore, they can get a lot hotter than they are right now.
Yeah, and that's a good hitting team.
One of the biggest surprises is Alfonso Soriano. He plays for a horrible offensive team, yet he has 33 runs and 32 RBIs, batting .295 with 16 home runs. That's second in the NL in home runs, next to Pujols.
Soriano is just a very, very, very good hitter. As you mentioned, he can hit, but he also steals bases. He's basically a 30-30 guy every year. So he's a guy you can rely on for average power and steals in your leagues.
Yeah, and it's pretty much a given that he's going to be traded because it's only a one-year contract, or he only has one more year on his contract, and the Nationals know that he doesn't want to play the outfield. He's not going to get re-signed, so it makes no sense for them to keep him. So he's a guy that is hot right now, but when he gets traded, he could even have much more value because... plays for a very poor offensive team, especially if he goes to the Yankees or a team like that. He's going to be one hell of a player.
I think the Yankees are definitely a possibility. Definitely a possible place for him to go. Of course, you know, they don't have Hideki Matsui. So, you know, he could play left field, but, you know, does he want to play left field? That's a problem. You know, he's not a great... he's probably below average second baseman defensively. He's not very good. But those offensive numbers make up for that.
Yeah, they will. He's definitely, when he gets traded, he will definitely improve upon his offensive numbers.
One of the most surprising MVP candidates comes from the Milwaukee Brewers, and that's Carlos Lee, who's always been a solid player and puts up solid numbers, but his numbers stick out even more because the Brewers are that much improved this year.
Yeah, he's only batting .275, but he has 16 home runs and 41 RBIs and 33 runs. Most of his numbers are better than Soriano's. He's second in the NL, tied for second in home runs with Soriano, and he's fourth in RBIs.
Yeah, he has more RBIs than Soriano, higher on-base percentage, his team at home runs and RBIs. This guy, when he was with the White Sox, he was always he's a solid player, hit for solid average, but... he's basically the face of the Brewers now, and he's getting more pitches to hit, you know. That's a pretty solid lineup. I mean, they've got Prince Fielder and Jenkins, and so he's getting good pitches to hit and driving the ball out of the ballpark a lot this year.
Yeah, there's a pretty good chance he can get traded, too, so his numbers will probably go up if he does get traded, getting in a better lineup than he is in right now, even. You know, the Yankees... maybe.
I don't know. I think you know, the Brewers are a game over 500 right now. So it depends what they get. Obviously, it depends if what they get back and if they're out of the race at the time by the deadline. Obviously, they can trade him. I don't know what his contract situation is. But, you know, the Brewers are at the end of the lower end of payroll in baseball. So I don't know if they can afford him or not, but it should be interesting if he stays there.
Definitely something to watch. Miguel Cabrera is having a quietly great year. He has 35 runs, only 8 home runs, but he is batting .335. The power isn't there, but the batting average is. He's third in the NL in batting average, and seventh in slugging, second in OPS and doubles.
Yeah, it's quite amazing the year this guy's having. I mean, he's 23 years old, And ever since he's came up during their World Series year, he can hit. He has flat out hit. And he's got no protection in that lineup. I mean, he's got Josh Willingham hitting behind him. You know, Willingham didn't have that many at bats before the season start. And he actually, you know, he'll even steal bases for you. He got the high on base percentage, and he drives in a lot of runs for a lineup that's below average.
Yeah, it's a lot like Soriano. He's having a great year on a bad team, and he could end up being a fantasy MVP candidate at the end of the year. The power numbers are going to have to come up for that to happen, but I think they will, because he's only hit 8 home runs, but he's been a much better power hitter than that the last few years.
Right, he's usually a 30-35 home run guy. I think the most surprising guy on our list is Ryan Howard, who was Rookie of the Year last year. He's an outstanding young player, 26 years old. He's hitting almost 300, and he's at the top of the National League in home runs.
Yeah, he only has 25 runs, though, which is kind of bizarre. That means he's only scored 10 runs outside of his home runs. That's a little bit of a drawback, fantasy-wise. But he is 6th in RBIs and home runs and 10th in slugging. He's an outside candidate, but his power does help him, I think. The power numbers are good, the RBI totals are low, and so are the run totals, and the batting average is less than 300. I think for him to be considered an MVP, fantasy MVP, he's going to have to get that average above 300 and score some more runs.
I think his average probably won't change. He'll probably stay around 295, 300, around there. The thing is, earlier in the year, the Phillies are actually hitting him 7th. Which is interesting, because he's not a 7-hole hitter. He's a 5th-hole hitter, without a doubt. And he's hitting actually 5th now, and he got Jimmy Rollins sitting behind him. So that should be interesting if he scores more runs.
They've even put him at in 4th in the cleanup spot a couple times. I mean,
Abreu's been struggling, so.
You have a lineup that you could easily hit Rollins, Utley, Abreu, then Howard, or even switch Abreu and Howard around and put Howard 3rd. And, you know, Rollins and Utley get on base a lot.
Here's another guy who's a couple guys in his lineup have been struggling. Rollins and Abreu haven't been getting on base. I mean, Rollins is hitting around 240, which is, you know, that's not Jimmy Rollins. I mean, he's usually in the 280s to 290 range.
And Abreu is in the 270s. He started off hot, but he's way cool.
Yeah,
down.
He's a heck of a player. So this guy won't keep up. With mid-season leagues drafting as we speak, draft strategy is important. There are many techniques and little caveats to drafting when. Brandon, how do you normally stop drafting hitters hard as a mixed bag?
I tend to draft hitters in the beginning. I never draft a pitcher in the first round, usually not in the first 5 rounds, unless I have a chance to pick up somebody like an Oswalt or a Halliday. You go for hitters hard in the beginning, you wait until about the 6th or 7th round, you draft a couple pitchers in a row, you go back to hitters for a little bit, and then I tend to get all my pitchers from about the 12th round to almost the end of the draft, and then the last 2 rounds I usually just take a couple sleeper hitters or pitchers, whatever's available. But I've noticed that people that draft pitchers early on tend to get pretty disappointed during the season. Pitchers are a lot more injury prone and a lot more inconsistent.
I don't know if I really have a strategy. I sometimes go with the best player on the board, or, you know, the biggest need later in the rounds or later on. Like the other day, I just drafted Johan Santana in the 2nd round. I think he's worth the 2nd round pick. I think there's about maybe 1 to 2 pitchers that are worth taken in the first 3 rounds, and that's it. You know, when you have, like, you know, you have closers going in the first 3 or 4 rounds, that's just crazy talk, because...
Oh, absolutely.
You don't know what happened. You can never know what happens with the closer situation, like we talked about last week. I mean, we talked about 5, 6 situations where you can have different guys step in and be closer at one time.
Yeah, I tend to usually draft 1 pitcher in about the 4th or 5th round, and then I go keep on hitters for a couple more rounds. It just works better that way, because hitters tend to come out of their slumps. They play every day. Pitchers don't. And, you know, I like to get a good, solid hitting lineup, and then you can always draft pitchers later on, because there's always somebody out there. I mean, you just look in your league at the free agent pickups, most of them are going to be pitchers.
Right.
because they're so off and on.
You draft a hitter, they're hitting every day. You have a pitcher, they're pitching every fifth day. So, it's kind of a interesting thing to look at. I mean, I don't have much of a draft strategy. I usually go with the best player available, but I don't think I've ever drafted a pitcher in the first round, if memory serves me right.
All right, well, now on to our mailbag. This week, our mailbag question comes from Irish for Life. He asks, where do you think Roger Clemens will end up playing this year?
Well, of course, I like to see him go to the Yankees, but I honestly don't think that's going to happen. So I still see him ending up in Houston. He's got everything there. He's got his family there, and he's got a chance to play with his son maybe at the end of the year. So what more can he ask for?
Listen, Clemens isn't leaving Houston. He's got to be leading the Yankees and the Red Sox on. He does have a chance to play with his son, and I think that the Astros are probably going to offer him that chance and tell him and guarantee a call-up for Colby when he gets to the majors. And I think Clemens will be back within the next 3 weeks, at least, signing with the Astros. And he will probably be pitching within a month. I think he's going to have quite a bit of value, too, right now. If you've held on to him, you might as well keep him. And if he's on your free agent list, you might as well pick him up because he sounds like he's coming back soon.
Right. If you have kept him this long, you obviously have to keep on to him. You don't trade him or drop him or anything. Houston's clearly the place. I mean, I know the Red Sox and the Yankees talked about him having a private jet and flying back and forth, his family flying back and forth and stuff. It's just difficult, you know. I mean, the Eastern time zone, you have to adjust to that. I think the Yankees, we were even talking about, he doesn't have to stay with the team or whatever. He can just pitch every fifth day, or that might have been the White Sox, Red Sox, I'm not sure, but...
You know, this is almost bordering on crazy talk. He's not that good. How old is he?
He's 40, 42.
Okay, he's not like he was back when he was in his early 30s and late 20s. He's not that good anymore. I think teams are overrating him right now, and I think the Astros are kind of keeping it real, and I think they're going to be the one that end up with him in the end, because that's where Clemens is from, and that's where he's going to feel comfortable.
I think the Yankees are so desperate for pitching right now that they'll overpay for a guy. I mean,
the Yankees have shown they'll overpay for anybody.
Well, that's true. I mean, but you know, the Red Sox. I think the Red Sox would overpay for him too. I'm not exactly sure why. I mean, I think their pitching staff probably overall is better than the Yankees.
Definitely, it's not even questionable.
But
imagine that staff with Clemens on it. I mean, you got Schilling and Beckett, and then Clemens, and you have a couple guys in, like, Clement. I mean, even David Wells could, I don't think he will, but he could come back and end up having a good year. That would be a scary pitching rotation. I think if Clemens does go to the Red Sox, you have to call him the favorites in the AL.
Here's the thing about the Red Sox rotation. You have Josh Beckett, who... He's got outstanding stuff. I'm not saying he's got outstanding stuff. It's just that he's just had weird injuries at the middle of years or the end of years. I honestly don't think. I don't know. I don't know. Can he stay healthy? That's the thing. And Schilling had the ankle injury, of course, last year, in the last couple of years. Can he stay healthy at his age?
Clement is the biggest injury risk on the Sox staff. And I think Clemens is going to solidify it if he does end up going to Boston. I think this is all irrelevant because I don't think he is.
Right.
I think honestly he's trying to lead them on. He's doing a good job of it too. He's got these two teams fighting for him, and chances are he's probably not even considering going to the Yankees.
Right. SportsCenter has had the past couple days where they've had the Red Sox and the Yankees talk about what they would give or why it was be good for him to go to each city, but it's just you got everything there in Houston. You got your family, and you got a chance with playing with your son. I mean, if I had the opportunity like that, I want to, money wouldn't be an issue. I mean, he's made a ton of money over his career.
Yeah, money's not an issue.
I mean, of course, I'm sure he wants to win one more championship before he retires, but. He's probably got a good shot in Houston.
He's got a good shot in either of those three teams. I think probably the best would be the Red Sox, but Houston's got a chance, and I don't know, I think...
The NL's wide open. I mean, I think the AL... AL has the White Sox. I think the White Sox are the clear team in the AL. And who's the real clear team in the NL? I mean, is it the Cardinals? The Mets have holes in their pitching staff. So, and the Cardinals can, you know, Edmonds has been struggling. Rowland is, you know, his power hasn't been there yet, but Pujols is Pujols. So, I don't know. And then you got the NL West, which is interesting to look at. He's got about three or four teams competing to win that division. You got the Diamondbacks and you got the Dodgers and the Rockies. So who's going to win that division? And it should be interesting.
All right, well, that's going to wrap it up for this week, guys. Be sure to check us out at www.fantasyloungeforums.com. Be sure to send in your questions for the next week via PM or email at admin@fantasyloungeforums.com. For Kevin, this is Brandon signing off.
Bye, guys.